1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
Well, it's always fun to talk to the big man. We'll start there. It just gets more fun after a win
over. Also against a division opponent.
The hated.
On the road.
Minnesota Vikings. Good morning, Santana.
Good morning, fellas. It's always our coffee and bagels are a little bit better. We can turn Vikings into Vike Queens. It's just a little bit better.
We don't need to name call. It's beneath us today. The better team, the better franchise, the better colors won.
Well, it's beneath you guys, but it's not beneath me.
No. Brian, no. Tell him who got to go to the game yesterday because it's the best line of the year. Tell him who was in attendance.
Did you have a look at the stadium, all the empty seats?
Yeah, I did see all the empty seats. So who went to the game?
Everyone who saw the Vikings win a Super Bowl got in for free yesterday.
It's a season-long promotion. All you have to do is show up with your ticket stub from the Super Bowl that the Vikings won, and you get in for free. All season.
For free.
To all 8 Minnesota Viking home games.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah, Daddy. Yeah.
Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
Isn't that more fun than name calling, Santana?
That is part of the fun, man. You gotta get them good when you can get them.
Rock,
and,
can you?
And Fran Tarkenton was the losing quarterback 3 times in that situation.
Joe Capp once, right?
Joe Capp once, and then Fran Tarkenton 3 out of 4 years actually in the mid 70s.
So. In the history of your team, your greatest quarterback lost 3 Super Bowls.
3 Super Bowls.
Ouch!
That's what he can hang his hat on.
And that's your best quarterback. And
they had a shot of Fran's cardboard cutout in the seats yesterday.
Brian, that wasn't a cardboard cutout. That was the Vikings Hall of Fame right there.
Oh. I guess maybe because they had been flattened in the Super Bowl 3 times.
The purple people eaters.
Yeah. Suck on that, Minnesota. Scary. Yeah. Oh, we'll keep them coming all season, you Viking fans.
We've got a million of them.
Oh, exactly. Well, I'm not going to I'll nitpick as the week goes on. I thought we gave up maybe too many points on defense. Yes? Yeah. No?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, the score, the final score definitely didn't dictate the dominant Nathan performance on pretty much both sides of the ball. You know, when you go up 3, maybe 4 scores, we went up in the fourth quarter, you would like your defense or the Smith brothers to be able to show up and close the show. But we did get the victory. So we don't want to nitpick, especially the fact that there wasn't a lot of preseason or no preseason games. And there hadn't been a lot of contact. So we're going to take the victory, but there's always something you can work on.
We're going to want that shutdown defense to show up at some point this year. I'm positive.
Yeah, and it makes you suspicious or kind of suspect because of the way the season ended last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be really, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, we're just going to hold our judgment on how good that defense is so far because of we know how the season ended up last year against San Francisco.
Well, Jair Alexander had himself a day yesterday.
Yeah, he played well. You know, he played well. And, you know, a lot of times I'm watching the game yesterday and you kind of get used to number 12 and everything he does. You know, his extraordinary play looks – we deem it as normal now. But when you watch the other quarterbacks around the league, I recall one overthrow to the tight end, and there was 4 dropped passes. But when we talk about, you know, we use the term in the locker room, long handoff. And you don't see our wide receivers having to dive for balls, jump high for balls. Every time they come out of the break, the ball is right there hitting them in their numbers. And all they got to do is pretty much close their hands and catch the ball. I mean, his game yesterday was pretty much close to flawless.
Unfortunately,
I'm going to carp about Marquise Valdes-Scantling, you know, dropping two that hit him in the hands. Although he did catch a TD pass and those drops.
He had other catches on the day, but the two that he dropped, like you said, were put right in his hands and he dropped them.
Yeah, and it was against a young, you know, they kept on talking about how young the secondary was, and it was a very young secondary at the Vikings. So you just got to catch those balls, you know, particularly he dropped there was one should have been a touchdown, and there was another critical third and six, third and five that killed the drive. You just got to make sure you got to catch the ball, you know. If that's your job, catching the ball, you got to catch it.
So
plain period, simple.
What do they do to a guy during the week if he's dropped a couple like that? Do they, I don't know, make him carry a ball around, or is there drills or concentration?
I'm sure there's drills and concentration drills. It's not so much, you know, it's not so much penalties at this point as a professional athlete. You know, if you're a receiver or even a defensive back that might have dropped a critical interception or dropped a critical pass, like that third and sixth pass, you're going to automatically be catching balls or hitting the jug machine, which they call it, before and after practice. So if you drop the ball, you maybe catch an extra 50, 75 passes off of the jug machine just because it's all reactionary. And when you see the ball, catch the ball.
I have it's a football question.
Well, this is the time. Yeah, perfect timing,
best
Brian.
Best to a guy who actually played. There was a fine if players had their shirts untucked, right? When you played?
There used to be a fine if you had your socks too low.
Your socks
and
too
your
low.
Shirts untucked and the wrong color undershirt.
Well, do they have that now? Because I'm seeing it all the time.
What's that?
Where it may or may not be the wrong colored undershirt, but it's hanging out over the pants and out from, you know, where the jersey is.
I'm looking at a football game right now, some highlights from last evening, and I saw at least three guys with their T-shirts hanging out past their jersey.
Yeah. Do they not?
They do still have those rules. We used to call them the uniform police. So
right?
Those guys are still out there. Typically, it comes with a warning, then a fine. And that fine, you know, these kids are young, they're crazy. So, you know, to wear the right T-shirt or the wrong color T-shirt, sometimes they don't really care about the fine.
That starts out as a letter from the league in your locker, right?
You're exactly right.
Dear Mr. Dodson.
So they just don't care?
Mr. Dodson, we observed the pregame or right out in the first quarter that your socks were down near your ankles and they need to be knee high, sir. please don't let it happen.
At
the time of the second infraction, they will be a monetary fine.
You ever get nailed for that?
Oh, no. I liked money too much.
Yeah. Okay.
And if they didn't...
You know, and it's typically, if you watch it, it's typically your wide receivers or your defensive backs.
Yes!
Those are your prima donnas. Those are your prima donnas on the team.
Yes.
You know, us defensive linemen, offensive linemen, we don't have time to worry about, you know, our socks. And our, you know, that stuff is down low as it is, just fighting in the trenches all the time. So you're just like, hey, you should get with the equipment manager and he makes sure your uniform is together. Then you're out there in a dogfight for 60 minutes.
I feel like if they didn't enforce those, things would start looking like a hurricane hit a game.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because, you know, everybody, you got guys that have their favorite shoes, their favorite socks, you know, your favorite whatever. You know,
right.
You may want to wear your high school or your JV.
You know what's being
socks, all that stuff. Goes on.
You know what's being abused right now because there's not a rule?
What?
Eye black.
Oh.
Those guys just draw all over their face with eye black. I'm an all-star wrestler. You know, it's for a single line under each eye. Was its original intention.
What does it do?
Now you got guys who are just...
it's war paint.
Yeah,
John Randall.
It's war paint.
That.
Right, exactly. John Randall.
Without
a
doubt, because I don't even think it worked.
And you know what?
No, did you ever use it?
Yeah, maybe in high school, because I was trying to be cool.
Were you cool?
I was cool.
Wait, were you cool to start with?
I was cool in the beginning and the end, and somewhere in the middle, I tried to use the eye black to get even cooler, but I was cool enough.
Okay.
I was already cool enough.
So cool you didn't need it. But then they had those tapes that you stuck on your face, too.
Right.
So you didn't have to smear some stuff on your face. But then you couldn't make all kinds of designs with that unless you, I don't know, wanted to make a dotted line across your face.
Yeah, the funny one is there's a little sleeve that they wear. Have you seen those? Like the little white sleeve that protects you from, like, carpet burns?
Yeah.
So they'll try to make that stylish now, too, especially your running back.
Yeah, well, because I see a lot of guys, it looks like they have tape on the back of their arms.
Right. Yeah, but these are actually sleeves.
I've seen the sleeves.
Right, that actually have the team logos on them or colors.
What is the tape on the back of the arms for?
I think that's old school. I think that's like the old way. That was our first
product.
It's like
runs from your wrist to your bicep. It's just some tape.
And Santana, you were a guy who never wore sleeves, right? Because you just said they just get wet and it just makes the situation worse out there. So
it makes it worse.
If you're going to use these sleeves that you pull up over your elbows, why not just wear a long sleeved T-shirt under your jersey?
Can't get them as tight?
I'm asking.
Right. Well, I mean, I think their response would probably be
not as cool.
You know, they don't want that much covering underneath their pads, you know?
Okay.
It's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about being comfortable and playing the game. You know, what gets the player the most comfort?
All right.
So they might want the sleeves, but not want the insulation feeling of having a full T-shirt under those pads.
I have a question for the group. What? This goes for everybody. Carrie and Eric, too, are welcome to jump in on this. How big's a gape?
Gape?
Gape. G-A-P-E.
What do you mean?
They always talk about a gaping hole.
Oh.
He just went, how big is a gape? Gaping. Gaping, is that more than one gape? Like seven gapes make for a gaping hole? What? Nobody questions that when they hear it during a football game.
At least 10 feet.
10 feet is one gape.
You have to be able to drive a truck through it.
It would be a real big hole.
Depends what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think so, too.
On a football line, it's probably like 10 feet.
A man and a half would be a gaping hole.
Well, that's a man and a half.
That's okay.
In drywall, I think it'd be like the size of a dinner plate.
Yeah. In your pants, like 4 inches is a gaping
hole.
That
is,
right?
In your pants.
So it depends on what we're talking about.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay, because nobody ever questions
that iceberg left a gaping hole in the Titanic.
Yeah.
We hear the term every Sunday, gaping hole. And I thought you'd say, what's the measurement of a gape? And I looked it up and there's no, all it says is, here's all it says
but
for gaping
hole. Is your mouth
wide open.
Hangs open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Close your gape.
Your gape.
That's gape.
The crowd gaped at something.
Sure.
Like,
one thing I guarantee is you know a gape when you see it.
Yeah. I got to go with that.
There's a gaping hole there.
Because coaches use that, right, when you're watching film? Jeez, that's a gaping hole. Yeah, like I'm sure you heard it in
see
film.
See this hole?
It's
gaping!
Santana, pretend you're still playing, and the coach says to you, Santana, describe the size of that hole. It's pretty big. It has a word, Santana.
It's gaping.
Right. Well, no, I've never been around a coach that used the word gaping, but typically it was a whole bunch of profanity because, again, on the defensive side of the ball, if there was a gaping hole, one of us defensive linemen caused it, or allowed it to happen. Let me say it like that. So if there was a gaping hole, we'd probably be in trouble. Explicative.
He used like big blanking hole.
Yeah, obscenity.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'd be more something like, you know what, Santana, if you keep allowing that gaping hole, you're going to be on the bus with a with the newspaper and an apple, meaning that you won't be here long.
Wow.
Yeah.
You'll be on your way home, sir. And I'm not talking about a plane flight. It's a bus ride home for you.
You ever have any coaches say that to you?
Oh, my gosh, all the time.
What? I can see it in Tampa, but not in Green Bay, because you were brought in as a free agent. You were highly sought after as a free agent when
he
you came.
He told you how great you were and how much they wanted you. And
now they're threatening to give you an apple.
We are having a little budget difficulty, so if you could sign for this amount.
Have you guys ever heard of the carrot or the stick? My whole livelihood was built around the stick. There was no praise in that meeting room.
How about this?
Were meeting rooms just generally tough? Are they always just tough?
They're tough. I think the psyche of a NFL meeting room is 80% or 90% of the coach telling you that, hell no, you ain't going to be able to do it.
Wow.
And you going out there and proving them that you can.
If I were a head coach, after hearing that, what you just said about the apple in the newspaper, I've heard apple and map. If I were a head coach, I would keep a bowl of apples and a full
stack of roadmaps.
On my desk. So when I call them.
See, you're from the Houston area. Let me find Texas.
Yeah.
Texas.
I would say to a player when he came in, first of all, grab an apple. Because that would be, we're cutting your ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And it kind of goes like that because the coach would be like, look, you're not going to get my behind fired. You're not going to get my butt fired. And before I get fired, I'm going to get you out of here, Jack. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're trying to save their job, too. And if you're not doing yours, I'm not getting fired because you're not doing your job. See you later.
That's right.
Yeah.
So then just talk for a second about the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals who coached up his rookie quarterback.
Joe Burrow.
To perform, well enough for a game one start against the Chargers, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the send the kicker
then
in.
Then the little kicker comes in. And it's got like an 8-yard field goal to make and blows it. Yeah. Wide right and limps off the field. And somebody may have come to his aid at some point. But I saw him limping around all by himself, like, screw it. Let him walk off.
No one cares it's hurt. You missed it.
At all. Again, the kickers have the roughest job and the roughest livelihood. Because even as a player, you're like, okay, go out there and kick it. Even if it was a 58-yard field goal, you look like you're looking at him like, dude, that is all you do. That is all you do. Surely, on a good day in September, we're not talking about December or January when the wind is whipping and it's snowing sideways. On a good sunny day, surely you can kick that field goal. Just do your job. I guarantee you they wanted to give him an apple and a newspaper and send him home. Like, give him an apple and a newspaper, get him out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably don't even read the newspapers now. If you said that to a 20-something, would they even know what a newspaper is?
Oh, yeah, sure. They know that they're...
Do you think?
They've seen boxes of them.
Santana, we don't have dinosaurs walking around anymore, and people know what they are.
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, they're going to go the way of dial phones, though.
But...
My daughter was looking for something. She just got a pet snake. We'll talk about that next week because I know I got to go. But we got her a pet snake for her birthday. And she was surprised that they had snakes at a pet shop. I said, well, where did you think we were going to get a snake from? I thought we were going to order it online, Dad.
Amazon.
I see them online.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Right.
Everything's online.
There's no way your daughter would know what an automat is, right?
No.
I don't think so.
Put a quarter in, slide the door open, and grab your sandwich?
Oh, no. She would not know that at all.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
She knows what Uber Eats is, though. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that, Jack.
Yeah.
She wears me out on that. I'm like, oh, another $30 hamburger, eh?
Now you're sounding like an angry parent.
All right.
I got a million of them.
That's awesome.
All right. Isn't it great on a Monday win day?
Yeah, it's a good one. 1-0, bae.
Yeah. All right. Now we have to get ready for the Lions.
All right, fellas. Y'all have a great week.
Who folded under the pressure of Mitchell Trubisky yesterday.
I know. Now, I was surprised he started. I just knew it was going to be Nick Foles, right?
How long does he last as the starter? The over-under is 4 here in this room.
4.5.
You got 4.
Yeah.
It definitely depends on not his play, but their record. If they're 1-3, he's done. If they're 4-0, they'll continue.
I think with that win yesterday, he's got the over easily now. Now I think he's to 5 or 6.
Yeah.
You think 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see the game. I didn't even see the highlights.
If that game would have ended after the third quarter yesterday, they'd be talking about benching him today because I think going into the fourth quarter, he'd only thrown for 64 yards on the day.
wow. And see, and that's lowly Detroit. So, yeah. You know, he didn't do it against Baltimore or Seattle or
Detroit's somebody that
has a defense.
Detroit has given the Packers fits over the last couple of years, though. So let's not dismiss them.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not be dismissive, sir.
Exactly. All right, Santana. Glad we defined what a gape is.
Yeah.
Get through that gape.
Those gaping holes, they'll always get you.
All right. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
All right, fellas. Peace.
All right.